You have your Bibles this morning. Let's go to the book of 3 John. It's interesting, as I looked back over messages I preached on Father's Day, usually on Mother's Day I'm generally preaching an encouraging message to honor your mother, and then on Father's Day I'm challenging the men to step it up a little bit. And this morning I want to have a complimentary message. So I want to preach this morning on how to make a dad happy. And this has not been type of message that I've preached over the years, but I am excited to preach this morning. If you're in 3 John, I'd like to begin with verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In this context, this is a pastor writing to, commenting on someone that he had led to the Lord, his son in Christ. But I think we understand that verse 4 has a lot of meanings for fathers. And I'd like to open in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Lord, all that that entails and all of that means to us is more than we can fully comprehend this side of heaven. But God, the aspects of your fatherhood to us, for those who are saved in this room, God, we can't fully thank you enough for being our Heavenly Father. God, as we have looked in the past about what that means to us, and Lord, as we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more you know how to give good gifts to us. How you chasten us because you love us. We could go on and on thinking of what you've taught us in Scripture about your being our Father. God, as you have formed the family, as it was your design and it was your plan, God, as we come to honor fathers today, God, I pray that this would be a helpful and encouraging message. And God, we thank you for all the men in this room who are a dad. God, I pray that you'd help them to be a godly father. God, help them to have wisdom. Help them to not get caught up in work and miss the joy of shepherding their family. And God, I pray that you'd help every father here to be a father who is used by you to disciple his family. And God, as we look at the family's response to a father, I pray that this would be a help this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when you come to verse 4, my parents got saved when I was 5 years old. And we had a home that they had an en suite and they had their own bathroom. And if you'd ever walk into that en suite and into their bathroom after they got saved, and especially as we went through our teenage years, this verse was in their bathroom. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Later they made a collage. I have three sisters, and they have me and my three sisters, and they had this verse in the center of that collage. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And my dad used to tell me that all the time. He used to say, Jim, I don't care what you do. In my dad's eyes, if you were a ditch digger — I don't know if we have any ditch diggers here today, but that would be like the worst job you could have. And my dad used to say, Jim, I don't care if you're a ditch digger. As long as you love the Lord, that's all I care about. And then you don't really understand that as a kid. You understand this when you start having your own kids. And as your own kids grow up, you also recognize this verse. I don't know how many fathers I've talked to who'd say, you know what, Pastor Jim, all I want is for my kids to love God. That's all I want. I just want my kids to walk with God. I want them to walk in truth. And they would echo verse 4. Pastor Jim, there's no greater joy. There is nothing that would thrill me more than to know that my kids are walking in truth, that my kids are walking with God. And certainly as a father, I echo that. I would say this is exactly my greatest desire for my children. And it's interesting when you think about, isn't this how God feels about us? I mean, you know how much God loves you, right? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I mean, why God loves us is something we'll never understand. But God has a unique love for us. And if that is true, which we know it's true in Scripture, then what brings God the greatest joy? What brings God the greatest joy is when you and I walk in truth. You know, Satan can't hurt God except through us. When he gets us to disobey, when he gets us to disregard God and dishonor the commands of God, that's how it hurts God. But for every believer here this morning, if you have a desire for a happy Father's Day, by the way, this is all intro. This isn't even my message yet. But if you want your Heavenly Father to have a happy Father's Day, what do you have to do? Verse 4, walk in truth. I mean, maybe I'm just wired that way or weird that way, but do you ever just think about your Heavenly Father? I mean, I love my dad. I have not everyone had a good dad. I had a great dad. He got saved at 5, when I was 5. He was a great father to me. He invested in me. He taught me life skills that I've needed. I have a great relationship with my dad to this day. My dad is a hero to me in many ways. I can remember growing up, my dad was one of those guys who never thought you should get a new Bible. So he wore his Bible out. When a page ripped, he'd just take scotch tape and tape it back in on both sides. And I even bought him a new Bible, and he still used his old one. But I can remember as a kid, I just remember coming. My dad was a workaholic. He was a hardworking guy. But I can remember him sitting down in his chair and reading his Bible. He was a servant in the church we grew up in. If anything needed to be done at the church, he was the guy that would come and do it. If anything broke in the blizzard, didn't matter, he'd be the guy that showed up. We had people in our home all the time when visiting speakers came. They stayed at our house. I mean, I just saw Christian living exemplified by my parents from the time that they got saved. And I love to make my dad happy. And you know what my dad has always told me? That, Jim, all I want you to do to make me happy is love God. Just live for God. And, I get excited about what God's done at Meadowlands, but you know who gets even more excited about what God's done at Meadowlands? Is my dad. He loves hearing about people getting saved here. He loves hearing what God's doing in our church. He just, every time he hears something about Meadowlands, a lot of you know he came up and spent a whole summer overseeing the building of this building. Came up in the wintertime in the plumbing. We had no heat in this building. He loves this ministry. But why does he love this ministry? I mean, if you ever go in my office, I have a few pictures of my office. My wife is prominent. If you ever see my office, I love my wife, my kids. But one of my favorite pictures is me and my dad when we were working on this building project. And I understand that, I love to do things that make my dad happy, but I love to do things that make my Heavenly Father happy. And God doesn't need anything from us this morning. What are you going to do for God? I mean, we use the term we're going to serve God, but what are you going to do for God that He couldn't do for Himself? Nothing, right? There's nothing you can do that God's going to go, wow, I could not have done that without Jim Tillotson. Man, sure glad I created that guy. No. There's nothing I'm going to do that God's going to say, I could not have done that without Jim. He doesn't need me. But you know what brings my Heavenly Father joy? When I walk in truth. And I say, God, I know it's right. And God, I love you. What does God say? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. If you want to have a happy Father's Day for your Heavenly Father, just keep His commandments. Nothing brings God greater joy than when we walk in truth. That was all intro. Now some of you are really scared, but don't be. I want to look at how to make your earthly father. How do you have a happy Father's Day? Another thing, and I would come to Mother's Day and Father's Day, I'd come to my parents and say, hey, what can I get you for Mother's Day? What can I get you for Father's Day? My parents always said, good children. Just be good. That's all we want. And I've passed that on to my children. And then my kids say, well, Dad, that's too hard. What else can we get you? That's too hard to be a good kid. Let me buy a golf ball or something. But But how do you make your dad happy? If you have a Christian father, I have five points this morning, and I want to begin with the first one. Take your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. The greatest number of long-distance phone calls are made on Mother's Day. The largest number of collect calls are made on Father's Day. I found that kind of interesting. There's a prayer that says, mender of toys, leader of boys, changer of fuses, kisser of bruises, bless him, O Lord. Mover of couches, soother of ouches, pounder of nails, teller of tales, reward him, O Lord. Hanger of screens, counselor of teens, fixer of bikes, chastiser of tykes, help him, O Lord. Raker of leaves, cleaner of eaves, dryer of dishes, fulfiller of wishes, bless him, O Lord. And I think we are blessed to have the fathers that we have in this room, and I think every dad knows that it's a huge challenge to be the dad that God's called us to be. It's a desire to be the dad that God wants us to be. But this morning, I want to spend time looking at the response to dad that will bring dad joy. And the first one is for moms to respect dad. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. Respect is to a man what romance is to a woman. Most women would say, boy, I would hate to go through the rest of my life without any romance. And I would challenge you, ladies, that men would hate to go through the rest of their life without any respect. The definition of respect is regards, notices, honors, prefers, praises, loves, admires exceedingly. As I read that list, ladies, if you have a husband, did that define how you feel this morning? If your husband got up and said, this is how my wife feels about me, she respects me, regards me, notices me, honors me, prefers me, praises me, loves me, admires me exceedingly. Is that what your husband would say this morning? I would challenge you, if you're going to have a happy dad, it starts with moms respecting their husband, which is exactly what God says you need to do. How do you talk to your husband this morning? How do you talk about dad in front of the kids? When you talk about your husband in front of the kids, do you build them up? Do the kids hear you think? I mean, if the kids got to vote this morning, would they say, boy, that describes mom exactly, Pastor Jim. Man, mom is always noticing, honoring, preferring, praising, loving, admiring him exceedingly. Man, that's how mom is all the time. Pastor Jim, it's disgusting at our house. Is that what your kids would say? What would your kids say, boy? Mom puts dad down. Mom calls dad names. Mom's never happy. Nothing dad does is ever good enough. You know, I think in this area of respect, it's an area that God says is very critical. In fact, in this verse, it says, let the wife see that she respect her husband. A survey was done of 100 men and said, if you had to live the rest of your life without love and be respected, or be respected and unloved, which would you choose? 95% of men said, I'd rather be respected and unloved. Of course, they did the same survey with women. What do women say? 95% of women say, I'd rather be loved and disrespected. Now, I'm going to say you need both. But let me challenge you, ladies and moms, are you respecting your husband? Does your husband feel respected by you? Do the kids know that you respect your husband? I don't think you can make up on one day for a year of disrespect. Can I say that again? And I, by the way, I think it's the same with Mother's Day. You know, it seems like, oh, it's Mother's Day or it's Father's Day. Let's be really nice to dad today. But you can't make up for a year of disrespect by acting like you're going to be respectful today. Do you express thankfulness to your husband? When's the last time you just thanked him? So, boy, honey, thank you so much for working so hard. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for fixing the things around the house. You know what we all tend to do? We focus on what isn't done. You know, I know this isn't a shock to anyone, but every one of us have flaws. And you know what happens when you're dating, and especially when you're engaged? You don't see those flaws. You just look right past them and you think, man, I'm getting the perfect person. You know, I'm getting the perfect person for me. And it's funny how after 3 to 5 years, and sometimes even in that first year, you say, this isn't the perfect person. And sometimes people get to the point and say, I made a mistake. That was a huge mistake I made. It's the same person. What's the problem? We're looking at all the negatives and we're not seeing any of the positives. Those positives are still there. But over time you flipped it and now all you see is the negatives. And maybe you're here this morning and say, you know what, I've not been respectful to my husband. I've not been respectful to him in front of the kids. I've not been respectful to him, to his face. And yet God is clear in this passage of Scripture that I need to respect my husband. Praise him when he does well. Every husband and every dad is going to do some things well. And every dad and every husband is going to have some failures. And when he fails, ladies, encourage him. Don't be Job's wife. Remember that pillar of encouragement in Job? Everything goes wrong. And remember what she comes and says to her husband? Why just curse God and die, you loser? That's in the Hebrew, by the way. You know, but basically he loses all of his wealth. He loses all of his kids. And so here's the wife who's supposed to stand by him. Remember those wedding vows you said? In sickness and in health. In what's the next word? Some go, I can't remember. In poverty or in wealth. What's the next one? Till death do us part. Now, are you gonna respect your husband in poverty as well as in wealth, in sickness as in health? To love, honor, and cherish, that is the next part. Till death do us part. Ladies, are you respectful to your husband? Would your kids say that you've been respectful? Would your husband say you've been respectful? Again, it's important to a man. It's respect is to a man what romance is to a woman. I use this illustration all the time. But if your husband was building a back deck and he puts the first post in the ground, he says, hey, honey, come out here and look at this. And you walk out there and go, it's a post in the ground. Big deal. What he wants you to say is, you did that? Wow, that's amazing. I could have never put a post in the ground like that. I don't think there's another guy in this whole neighborhood that could put a post in the ground like that. Wow. And you're mine. I love you. Ladies, that's what he wants to hear. Some of you ladies go, come on, Pastor Jim. Try it out, ladies. Respect is to a man what romance is to a woman. Take your Bible and go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. This is talking about the wife of a deacon. As he talks about the wife of a deacon, he says, likewise, their wives must be reverent or respectful, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Take your Bible and go over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. Let the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. A lot of you know I do a lot of marriage counseling. I had one lady come in my office and say, Pastor Jim, nowhere in the Bible does it say I have to love my husband. The Bible says he has to love me. And I took her to this passage of Scripture. I said, well, that's interesting because the Bible says the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husband. So God does say you need to love your husband. But God also says you need to be respectful. You know, husbands make mistakes. And sometimes, ladies, those mistakes are huge and they're hurtful. But you can still even address issues in a respectful way. And I'd encourage you, if you want to make your dad happy this morning, it starts with moms being respectful. We had Dr. Owen, Dr. Mack with us, and we were starting a, a session a little bit late. The pastors were all talking, and someone came in and kind of got on my case about, you know, we got to get going. What are you doing? And Dr. O was standing right next to me, and he leaned over to me and he said, "So that's what the Holy Spirit looks like." And I thought that was pretty funny. And, you know, ladies, sometimes you want to be the Holy Spirit. And let me challenge you, there's only one. There's only one Holy Spirit, and you're not it. You know, that's why I say, ladies, duck and let God hit them. You know, and sometimes, ladies, you're so busy playing the Holy Spirit, trying to fix your husband, and you're constantly telling him everything he does wrong. And you're constantly telling him everything he needs to do to fix this. And that's all he gets at home. From the time he gets home to the time he goes to bed, you're always fixing him. Ladies, that's a huge turnoff to your husband. And then ladies go, "Well, I don't know why he doesn't talk to me. I don't know why he just shuts down. I don't know why he's at work all the time." Well, ladies, it might be because he can't take it anymore. There's only one Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. And if he's always hearing everything he does wrong and everything that he needs to do to change, and you're constantly on him, you're actually going to have the reverse effect that you desire to have. And you get a lot more accomplished by praying for your husband and letting God work in his heart. And when men feel disrespected, you've heard the crazy cycle. When men feel disrespected, often they don't love. That's not an excuse. But often when a husband isn't loving, it's often because he's feeling disrespected. And I want to challenge you, if you want a happy dad, it starts with moms being respectful of dad. And by the way, kids know. Kids know how mom feels about dad. And ladies, let me encourage you. I am blessed with a great wife, and she's done all. I've made a lot of mistakes as a dad. I've fallen into my own father's workaholic syndrome at times, and Joan's carried a lot of the weight. But you know what? Joan is, even in building projects when it was stupid busy, Joan did such a great job of helping our kids look forward to dad coming home and loving dad. And I attribute Joan to a lot of that. Because Joan worked hard to say, you know what, I'm going to respect Jim. And it's biblical. We've looked at three different passages of Scripture that challenge you to do this. And so, ladies, let me just encourage you. It's Father's Day. And if you want to make Dad happy, don't just respect him today. Respect him year-round. I saw this, "Dear Tech Support. Last year I upgraded from boyfriend 5.0 to husband 1.0. And I noticed a distinct slowdown in the overall system performance, particularly in the flowers and jewelry applications. In addition, husband 1.0 uninstalled many other valuable programs, such as Romance 9.5, Personal Attention 6.5, and then installed undesirable programs, such as Newspaper 5.0, TV News 3.0, and Basketball Game 4.1. Conversation 8.0 no longer runs. Please note that I've tried running Nagging 5.3 to fix these problems, but to no avail. What can I do? Signed, Desperate Woman. Dear Desperate Woman, first keep in mind Boyfriend 5.0 is an entertainment package, while Husband 1.0 is an older, more reliable operating system. Please enter command, I thought you loved me.html, and try to download Tier 6.2, and don't forget to install Guilt 3.0 update. If those applications work as designed, Husband 1.0 should then automatically run the applications Jewelry 2.0 and Flowers 3.5. However, remember, overuse of the above applications can cause Husband 1.0 to default to Silence 2.5. However, whatever you do, do not, under any circumstances, install Mother-in-Law 1.0. It runs a virus in the background that will eventually seize control of all your system's resources. In summary, Husband 1.0 is a decent program, but it does have limited memory and cannot learn new applications quickly. You might consider buying additional software to improve memory and performance. We recommend Cooking 3.0 and Hot Looks 7.7. Obviously, this never took place. But here's the problem. Here's an unhappy wife, and the solutions were Nagging 5.3, Tears 6.2, Guilt 3.0, and Hot Look 7.7. And that results in manipulation 5.0. And ladies, manipulation is not God's desire. God's desire is for you to respect your husband. He will respond. And if you want a happy dad, don't respect him just today. Respect him throughout the year and your kids will know. Secondly, children, honor your father. Go back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. How to have a happy dad. Moms, respect dad. Secondly, children, honor your father. Not all of you have a father who's alive today, but if you have a father who is alive, this would be a command for all of us, not just small children. If your dad's alive, God's desire is for all of us to honor our father. In Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. A lot of you recognize this as the fifth of the 10th commandments. Take your Bible and go to Leviticus. Next book, Leviticus 19, verse 3. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Verse 16. Cursed is the one who treats his father and his mother with contempt. God's very clear that He wants you to honor your father and mother, again, not just on Father's Day, but every day. And if you treat your father and mother with contempt, the Bible says you should be cursed. Take your Bible and go to Proverbs 20, verse 20. Bible says, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Let me just pause here. I do enough counseling to know that not all of you had a good dad. And some of you may need to forgive. And maybe you're here on this Father's Day and you say, Pastor Jim, you do not know what my dad did to me. I will never forgive him. I want to challenge you this morning. That's unbiblical. Remember the passage of the man that owes 8 countries worth of debt? And God says that's what we are in that parable. We owe this enormous debt we could never pay. God forgave us. And He said, whatever people in this life do to you is like $400 worth of debt. You need to forgive them. And maybe some of you on this Father's Day say, you know what? I need to forgive Dad. I've held a grudge. I've hated my father. I've cursed my father. You know what? Maybe this Father's Day is the day to forgive your father. And maybe you say, you know what? I grew up with an unsaved dad and he was horrible. He was abusive. Let me encourage you, carrying that bitterness in your heart is not going to help you. And God gives a clear command that we're to honor our fathers as much as we can. If you have a father that won't repent, if you have a father that refuses to make things right, the Bible says you can't have a relationship with him. But if you have a relationship with your father, if you're a child in this room this morning, God's crystal clear. You need to honor your father. Go over to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. The word honor has the same idea of respect. It's really the same idea that a wife is to have for her husband. It's the same idea that a child is supposed to have for his father. Perhaps some of you need to call your dad today. Perhaps you maybe need to apologize to your dad today. If you refuse to honor your parents, God is clear it will not be well with you. In fact, God repeats that in Ephesians 6. Honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you and they live long in the land. If you refuse to honor your parents, the Bible is crystal clear it's not going to go very well for you. When's the last time you said to your dad, thank you? When's the last time you wrote a note to your dad or called him on the phone and just said, Dad, I want you to know I love you. I'm so thankful that you're my dad. And again, Mother's Day, the most long-distance phone calls. Father's Day, the most collect phone calls. Don't call collect. But God's very clear that fathers are to be honored. You know, And when you get in those teen years, teenagers, if you're here in the room this morning, you know when your dad asks you to do something, do you roll your eyes? This kind of ties into the third point. Not only if you want to make your dad happy, moms respect dad, children honor your father, but thirdly, children listen to your dad. There's something about dads that they want their kids to listen. I've met a lot of preachers who've never been in the pulpit. I'm working with their teenager, and they said, "Dad can go for an hour, Pastor Jim. And he repeats the same thing over and over and over again. Pastor Jim, I get it." And I say to those teenagers, does that communicate to your dad? You know why your dads keep repeating? Because he doesn't think you're listening. Next time dad says it on the first time around, say, "Dad, that is really great advice. Thank you for sharing that with me. I really am going to try and apply that to my life." You'd be surprised though, dad doesn't repeat himself. I've had teenagers look at me and go, "I never thought of that." Why does dad repeat himself? He wants to know you get it. He wants to know you're listening. Interesting, God asks you to do that. Look in Proverbs chapter 4, just back up. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live.'" Do you listen to your father this morning? When dad tells you to do something, when dad's giving you advice, are you listening? If you want to make your dad happy on Father's Day, listen to your father. The next time he wants to teach you something, say, "Dad, I heard what you said. That's such excellent advice. Thank you. I'm going to try and apply that." You probably won't wipe the grin off your dad's face. Dads just want their kids to listen. By the way, do you think God is the same with us? Do you think God wants us to listen? God loves it. And by the way, God isn't fine with us just being hearers of the word. He wants us to be what? Doers of the word. That's how how do dads know you're listening? When you do it. You know, I've had 3 children, and the third one is now going through driving, and I've taught all 3 of them. And that's always a fun experience, right, when you're teaching your kids to drive. I've had a lot of prayer time in my vehicle with my kids driving. And, so you start out and you're trying to teach them these different things. But it's when they don't listen that you get really scared if you're in the passenger seat, right? Stop. No! And they slam on the brakes and you're like, "Phew, we lived through that one. That was close." You know, and what are you saying? Hey, listen to what I'm saying. This is important. And I would challenge every young person in this room this morning, listen to your dad. This is what Proverbs is saying. And I believe the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. And I believe Solomon is saying in verse 4 here that David taught him. He says, "My dad taught me." And he's saying, "What my dad taught me, I'm trying to teach you." And so he comes back to verse 1. "Hear the instruction of a father." When a dad is trying to teach you something, pay attention. I'm not going to ask guys to raise their hand, but how many of us would be honest enough to say, "There's things I wish I'd paid attention to and learned from my dad"? I'll raise my hand. So there's things I could have learned when I was a kid that I was a kid and didn't think that was important, but I sure wish I could go back and learn those things from my dad. I mean, my dad knows how to do a lot of things I don't know how to do, but he would have taught me if I'd been willing to listen. Take your Bible and go back to Proverbs 1, verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." Go over to Proverbs 6, verse 20. "My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother." Look in Proverbs 13, verse 1. "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to a rebuke." Look in Proverbs 23, verse 22. Proverbs 23, verse 22. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Dads want to be heard. They want you to listen. And the book of Proverbs clearly tells you, listen to your father. Listen to the instructions of your father, especially if he's a godly father. I mean, every godly dad in this room, again, coming back to my last point that we'll get to, all you want is for your children to walk in truth. And when dads are instructing you in that, when dads are challenging you, by the way, dads, I would just say this precludes or assumes that we are instructing. Don't be a dad that's not instructing your kids. Take time with your children. Show them how to have devotions. Show them how to do things. Spend time with your kids instructing them. But when you're a dad who's doing that, you're spending time with your kids, you're teaching them things, God says, children, listen to that. Listen to the instruction of your father. You know what? Even to this day, my dad still has good advice. There's a lot of things. When something goes wrong, I'll call my dad up, especially if it's anything mechanical. And my dad can usually talk me through it on the phone. And my dad just is, he's built that way. And so, and he's probably done it many times. And I'll say, Dad, this happened, it's broken, I don't know what to do. And hey, Jim, do this, try this. And he still gives me instruction. I know my dad prays for me every single day. My dad prays for my kids every single day. My dad still has that verse in his home. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I know that when my dad gives me instruction or when my dad gives me counsel, it's coming from someone who loves me and loves God. And if you have a dad like that this morning, a saved dad who loves God and loves you, the Bible says, listen to him. The Bible says, don't be a scoffer. You're not wise when you ignore your dad's counsel. God wants dads to be giving instruction and he wants children to listen. As long as you're living at home, you need to listen to your father. Don't roll your eyes. Don't walk away in the middle of a discussion. Don't tune dad out. You know, you're just sitting there, but you're not really listening to what he's saying. The Bible says very clearly that you are to listen. Number four, how do you make your dad happy? Obey God's word. Go to Proverbs 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father. The Bible says, how do you make your dad happy? God says it right here. If you're a wise son, you'll make your dad happy. A wise son makes a glad father. If the Bible's true, then if you want to make your dad happy, just be a wise son or a wise daughter. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. So when God gives you knowledge, when your parents give you knowledge, wisdom is the correct application of that. By the way, this makes God happy with us as his children. When he gives us knowledge and we apply that correctly, that brings God great joy. And a wise son makes a glad father. To know God's word and do it is wisdom. To know God's word and ignore it is foolish. Look in Proverbs 15, verse 20. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Look in Proverbs 17, verse 21. He who begats a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Every dad in this room could be amening this. Every dad in this room says, boy, that is so true. When my children do right, that brings me such joy. And when my children are messing up, it brings me such sorrow. How do you want to make your dad happy on Father's Day? Be a wise son or daughter, no matter how old you are. If I went off and did something stupid today, it would bring great sorrow to my parents. You know what brings great joy to my parents? When I keep walking in wisdom. Look in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 24 and 25. The Bible says the Father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. Why do you keep reading in these passages? Children, when you honor your father, when you're walking in wisdom, you're going to bring great joy to your father. You know, I don't know, you know, maybe you are really into things and maybe you remember every Father's Day gift you've ever gotten. I can't. You know what? It's never going to be a gift that my kids give me that's going to bring me great joy. You know what's going to bring me great joy? When they walk with God. What the Bible says in this verse is completely true. And I think every godly father would say, you know what? It really does say what I want for Father's Day. Kids that are doing right. Kids that are righteous. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. And let her who bore you rejoice. What a powerful passage of Scripture. What's God saying? Hey, you want your parents to have joy? Then be the right kind of child. When you're righteous, you'll bring great joy to your parents. And go to 3 John 4, the verse we started with. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. As I've talked to the fathers in this church, I hear the same theme. There's nothing they desire more than to see their children love and obey God. And I would say to the dads who have kids that aren't doing this, don't give up. Keep praying for your children. Job kept praying for his. I think you and I need to keep praying for our children. God would challenge us in Ezekiel chapter 18. But as we pray for our children, and if you're a child here this morning, understand that when you obey God and walk in wisdom, you will bring great joy to your father. Go over to John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do we show our Heavenly Father that we're walking in wisdom? By obeying Him and keeping His commandments. Excuse me. And last point, how to make Dad happy. Tell your dad why you still can. You know, I've been to a lot of funerals, and at a lot of funerals, children get up and talk about Dad. But Dad can't hear a word that's said. And let me encourage you, don't wait for your dad's funeral to tell your dad if you think he's great, if you love him. Say, well, we just don't do that. That's just not how our family operates. We just don't talk like that. Well, let me encourage you to start. Take your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. This is a great passage on communication. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. When's the last time you told your dad he's a great guy? And by the way, if you just do it on Father's Day and you don't do it the rest of the year, he might have a hard time believing it today. But the Bible says the reason God gave you a mouth is for edification, so that it ministers grace to the hearer. Don't wait for his funeral to say the things that he needs to hear now. Maybe you just need to give your dad a call today. Maybe you need to write him a letter. Just say, Dad, I just wanted to let you know I think you're a great guy. Dad, I love you. I appreciate all that you invested in my life. And the Bible says you need to use your mouth for edification. And as we're here on Father's Day, you need to use it for your dad. When's the last time you gave your dad a heartfelt note or a heartfelt card or called him on the phone and just said, Dad, I just want you to know I love you. I think you're a great guy. You know what that'll do for your dad? And I know this morning, sometimes you come to these special days and it's hard for people. Some of you didn't have a good dad. And so you're hearing this message and you're saying, boy, this is Father's Day is a very tough day for me because my dad wasn't a good dad. And for you, I would just say, have you forgiven him? You can forgive him to God. And God can give you a peace that passeth understanding. And don't stay bitter. Don't stay Don't spend the rest of your life hating your dad. I've met people who hate their dad and their dad's already passed away. It's done. You can't change that. Don't let the past ruin your future. And maybe you're here this morning and say, you know what, I just need to forgive my dad. Then I'd encourage you, do that today. Don't wait. If you have a good dad, say, you know what, my dad was a good dad. Maybe he wasn't saved, but he's a good dad. Maybe you're here this morning and say, he's not saved yet. I've witnessed to him. He's not ready to get saved, but he was a good dad. Then follow these biblical commands. If you had your Bible open, everything I read, God says this is how we need to act. We need to be a wise son or a wise daughter. We need to listen to our dad. We need to honor our dad. And moms need to respect dad. And if you have a mouth, we need to be encouraging to dad. And I would challenge you this morning. This is a great day to honor fathers. We're glad to have all the fathers in this room. And we have a lot of good men in this church. I get to serve with some great men in leadership. We have some great deacons. Just men that love the Lord and love this church, love their families. And it's a joy to work with good men. And often I'm on the men and I'm challenging the men. And I just thought, this Father's Day, let me encourage everyone else to honor the husbands and the dads that are here this morning. And every dad has a flaw. Every dad has a problem. I have my problems, and thankfully my wife loves me in spite of my problems. My kids love me in spite of my problems. And don't get so caught up in the problems that that's all you see and forget all the positives. You know, someone said to me a long time ago, your friends are your friends in spite of their faults, and your enemies are your enemies because of their faults. That's always stuck with me. It's how you look at people's faults. And let me encourage you, dads have faults. Dads aren't perfect. But don't just honor them today. God's clear, one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother that it may be well with you and that you live long on the earth. Let's close in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to come and remember fathers this morning. We thank you for all the dads that are here in this room. And God, we thank you for the good men that you've given in our church. Lord, you've blessed us with good men that love you, good men that love your word, love this church, want to be good examples, desire to allow you to work in their hearts and lives. And God, for these good men, may you bless them today. God, may they be encouraged. And God, we just, as we've looked at these passages that remind us that a wise son makes a glad father, that there is no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth. God, as we read these passages of Scripture, we understand the truth that they tell us, that that is what makes a godly father have great joy. And God, I pray for all of us as we have opportunity, if our father is still alive, God, may we find time today to communicate to our father how much he means to us and how much we love him. And Lord, I know there's some in this room who had a father that was nothing like you want a father to be. And I know there's some in this room whose fathers are unwilling to repent and unwilling to restore. And God, I pray that that you'd help those children to forgive this morning. God, help them to leave those hurts with you and not allow those hurts to ruin the rest of their life. And God, we thank you for this day that we can honor the fathers who are a blessing. And God, we certainly come this morning knowing that you are a blessing. And God, as we desire to honor you, may we understand that all of these principles apply to our relationship with you, that you want us to listen to you, to obey you, to have a reverential awe of you. And God, help us to honor you as our Heavenly Father today as well. Thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.